It's a new season.
Thank you for joining us for the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. And remember, if you are ever in our area, please stop by. We'll make you feel right at home. Now, let's join Pastor George Logan for today's message.
Of God and of Jesus our Lord, who has, by his divine power, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So all that we need has been given to us according to the knowledge of the Word of God. And we said that that knowledge of the Word of God increases our faith. It increases our understanding of God so that we can receive all the things that he has given to us. And Ephesians 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." That's past tense. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, sometimes people would say, it's just talking about spiritual things. Well, let me ask you a question. Where did all things come from? What's the origination of all things? Did a tree just come out, or did it come out from someone? It came from God, right? It was initially spiritual before it was ever material. So when he says all things, it's not just talking about, that's just talking about spiritual things. No, it's talking about everything God did. Every single thing we see today came out of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God said, all of the sayings came from him. They're spiritual in nature. Everything we have is spiritual in nature. It originated in the realm of the Spirit first, and then manifested itself later out here. So that's why he can say, all things have been given to us through the knowledge of God. Everything that we need has been given to us through the knowledge of God, so that we don't barter and trade and go to war. We believe God. There's another realm that we operate in, and it's the realm of faith, or it's in the realm of grace. We tap into a grace realm, so we don't have to fight. We don't have to be like everyone else in the world. When we want something, we go take it from someone else. No, you believe God for it. Going back to Richard Allen again, he didn't fight people to get the $2,000. He didn't rob or steal to get the $2,000. He believed God. Y'all with me? He believed God. All right, so let's look at Mark 11. And if you've been around here any time, you've heard this reference to these scriptures ongoingly. Now there's a lot in here, Mark 11. We're going to start at verse 20, but we're going to cover today verse 24. And so Mark 11, and I'm going to start at verse 20 to give you a context, but then we're just going to jump into 24 because we're talking about believing that you have it now, N-O-W, right now. Now just creates a different attitude, right? It creates a whole different way of looking at things when I've got it right now, okay? And some of you all realize that when we get into it a little bit. So verse 20 says, let us go back a little further than that because I think you need to hear this part as well. Go to verse 12 of chapter 24, or chapter 11. It says, "Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry," speaking of Jesus, "and seeing from afar off a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciples heard it." So again, probably didn't mean a whole lot to them at that point, really. I mean, they already thought the dude was a little strange, right? I mean, They'd seen some miracles, but you know, they weren't full on believing yet. They were just walking along with him, and he seemingly casually says, after looking at a tree for figs, let no man eat fruit of you thee hereafter forever. No, let no one eat fruit from you. Now, how would you have received that? You're walking along with someone, and we're walking through the park with our buddy, and our buddy says, no one shall eat fruit of that apple tree ever again. We'd like look at one another and say, well, exactly, what was that all about? And we'd just keep on going. Probably wouldn't even think about it, would we? I mean, not too much, because he just spoke to the tree, but you know, I mean, he's done some weird things before. Right? He's known to say some things, do some things, say, hey, you know, whatever. Whatever, Jesus. Whatever. But Jesus doesn't do anything without it being purposeful, without it having meaning behind it, without it being intentional in nature. And so let's go on down a little further in Scripture. And he goes to verse 20. He says, now in the morning, so the next morning, he says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, some of us would have not taken notice of it, but he said it loud enough and clear enough for them to see it. And as they went by that same tree again, they looked. They were like, well, let's just look over there and see. And when they did, and Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, yo, Jesus. Look, that fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And I'm sure Jesus, because I'm sure him and Peter had that kind of relationship, like, well, what'd you think, Peter? You think I was just saying it? What else should you think was going to happen? Well, I mean, really, what else do you think is going to happen? I spoke it. I desired it. I wanted it to happen, Peter. I mean, what else should you think was going to happen? You think it was going to have figs on it? You think it was going to? No. Had I said for it to have figs on it, it would have figs on it. But I cursed it. And I cursed it for you all's sake, so that there would be a lesson to be learned here. And listen what the lesson is. Verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, what is cursing a fig tree and having faith in God? What does that got to do with anything? Until we read in between the lines. And when we read in between the lines, it's saying a better translation of that would be have the God kind of faith. Or have the faith that God has. Now, how do we know that? How is he saying that? Have the faith that God has. Why would that not even be worth even him even saying? If we can't have the God kind of faith, why would Jesus say have the God kind of faith? Why would he say it? Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Now we know this talking about the have the God kind of faith because he reveals it later in these scriptures about what he's trying to get them to see. What I want you to see right now is, why would someone tell us to do something that we cannot do? Are y'all with me? If we can't have that kind of faith, why would he even tempt us by asking us, have the God kind of faith? Why would he even say that? Unless he knows, and I'm going to say a word that might rub some of you the wrong way, hopefully it won't. But remember in the Bible, he says, let us make man how? In our image and our likeness. And let them have dominion. In other words, let's put man in the God class. Let's put man in the God class. In other words, let's make man like ourselves. And because we make him like ourselves, we believe they have the capacity to rule the earth. Why would we give them, why would we put man down here and not equip him to dominate the earth? Think about that. How many of you have children that you know their capacity? And you know what they're capable of doing or not doing? And you would never give them responsibilities that they are not equipped to do. Right? That doesn't make any sense. And all of us have children. Maybe if you have multiple children, you have more than one child. They're made different. They're all different. They're psychologically different. And they have different capacities. I look at my four children, and I know what I can give to each one of them. So when God looked at his creation, us, and making us in his image and in his likeness, he said, they are now equipped to rule the world, to rule the earth, to have dominion. Our original state was to have dominion, to rule, to do what God said do. Now, how do we know it's talking about have the God kind of faith? Listen to this right here. So as we keep on reading, Mark 11:22 again, Jesus said, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. So I submit that to you all this morning, that he's talking about have the kind of faith that God has, because we're in the God class, okay? We're not God, but we are in the God class. All right? For assuredly, or certainly, or most definitely, or you better believe it, right? That's what it's saying. That's what for assuredly means. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Now, we're going to talk a little more about the heart later. Right after this, maybe not today, but we're going to talk about what is the heart. But believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Let's not just gloss over this and say, I've heard it before. This is talking about what we have in the God class. And it's not just believers class. In other words, it's not just the Christian class, because everybody is in the God class. All humanity is in the God class. Even if they don't believe in Jesus. That principle is the same. Whatever you believe in your heart and say out of your mouth, it will happen. Because that's what it is. And if you look at people's lives, and if we're able to take an inventory of what they have believed in their hearts and what they have said out of their mouths, we'll be able to see exactly why they are where they are today. Good, bad, or indifferent, positively or negatively, there's a byproduct of what has come out of our hearts. It's a principle. This is a book of principle. Like, I'm teaching you how to live life. How many of you realize, I'm listening to a book now by the same guy who wrote the book on Martin Luther King, Jonathan E-I-G, Ego, I don't know what it is, but anyway, E-I-G. And so I'm listening to a book now by Muhammad Ali. It's interesting because he gives a lot of context, and he tells their story like you've never heard it before, with a lot of detail. But here's one thing that I noticed about Muhammad Ali, is this dude spoke himself before he, listen, he was calling himself the greatest before he ever fought Sonny Liston. I mean, before he even got in the ring with Sonny Liston, he was saying, I am the greatest. Matter of fact, he put it on a bus that he bought. He put it and said, the greatest. And at that time, he was not the greatest. At that time, no one really particularly cared for him. He was not renowned like he is today. Yet he was speaking it. Yet he was saying it. Because it is a principle of our humanity. It's a principle of our likeness to God. The image of God. The Spirit of God. That if a man believes it in his heart and speaks it out of his mouth, it will come to pass. And this man began to say, I'm the greatest. I am the greatest. I am the greatest. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. He had never fought the man yet. But his spirit conquered the other guy's spirit. Because this is a principle. Now, the beauty of it is we have the promises of God. We have the promises of God to lodge them in our hearts, to tell us what God has for you and I. And so the part I want us to get to today is this, Mark 11:24. And we'll get back to, because we haven't gotten into confession yet. We're just on faith, the law of faith and confession. So 24 says, therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore. Now whenever you see the word therefore, you need to do what? Find out what it's, yeah, it wasn't too hard. Find out what it's there for. Therefore, I say to you, now this is Jesus speaking. Therefore, I say to you, my 12 disciples, you guys are running with me. I'm teaching you some lessons, because I'm going to leave all of this in your hands. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. He says, therefore I say to you, based upon your heart, whatever things you ask for when you pray, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now what is missing out of this is it does not say whatever things God desires when you pray. Oh, y'all missed that. That went by you so quick. That went by you so quickly, man. You were like, whoa, what was that? It did not say whatsoever God desires when you pray. And sometimes we miss that up, and sometimes we add the language of what? What it be thy will. Be thy will, Lord, or be if it be your will. And God's like, no, I done told you what my will is. I showed it to you in scripture in the word of God. I presented it to you by letting my son walk upon the earth, which was the revelation, the revealing of my will for mankind. That's what I showed you. Now it's up to you. It's up to you to make what my will is your will and get it in your heart so that when you pray, it's your desires that you're speaking of. That's real passive of us. So, well, let's leave it up to God. Well, God must have not wanted it. Well, it may not have been that at all. It may have been that you just didn't have it in your heart as a desire. See, God gets blamed for a whole lot of stuff that he is not into or have anything to do about. And we try to, you know, our way of rationalizing, our way really of attempting to stay with God. Like, I got to give him a break, because if these things, if this don't happen, then I got to give him a break, because really, I don't know why I remain in here in a place where prayers are not answered. So let me give me a break. Let me help myself to continue believing him. So we rationalize it must not have been his will. Must not be God's will. God must want me this way. He must want me this way because he's trying to teach somebody something through my calamity. Doesn't mean that we don't face it. Anyone who's lived long enough knows what? That we face challenges. We face tribulations. We face difficulties. But that doesn't mean that's God's will for you. That means that the calamities are there to break us down so that we may not trust in God. Remember, we read this last week. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness so that we might escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, through other kinds of desires. So, let's go back to this again. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, or you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will eventually have them. Now, it does say that. It does say you will have it in a manifestation if you first believe it. In other words, you got to have it. Just like Richard Allen. He believed that he received the $2,000, and then he went out with the heart of, you know, hey, it's out there for me. It's out there for me. I got to go get it. I got to go get what's mine. It's already mine. It's mine. That business plan, God gave it to me. It's already mine. I need to just go out there and walk out. I'm not going to come to me. I got to go get it. Whatsoever I desire when I pray, believe that I receive them. Act like I've got it. I told someone last week that I was going to respond to a question that they had concerning something as practical as finding or having a husband. And so I want to respond to that. Once you believe that you receive it, I've asked God for a mate. I believe he wants me to have a mate. It's my desire to have a mate. I believe it. I believe now. I pray for it. I ask God for it. I believe he's given me a mate. Now I'm going to start making the bed up for my mate. I'm going to start cooking a little extra for my mate. I'm going to start acting like I've got a mate. And what does that look like? He began to do things that some people may think are weird and crazy and odd, but you act like you would if someone was coming to church with you. You act like they come to church with you. If you act like you set another plate at the meal plate and you put some food down there and you say, I thank God for my mate in Jesus' name. Oh, y'all don't hear me. No. That's believing in your heart. You preserve yourself. You preserve yourself if you think you believe you got a mate. You preserve yourself. You don't go sleeping around. You don't go living and cohabitating and getting hurt over and over and over again. No, I believe I got me a mate and I ain't messing the thing up. Are y'all with me? Because we've escaped the corruption that's in the world through its lust. We've escaped the corruption that is in the world. I don't have to act like everybody else acts. I'm going to act like I got me somebody. Going to talk like it, walk like it, act like it, sing like it. Whew. Hear your mate telling you, be quiet. You're making too much noise. But everything locks in like in that kind of a template. If I believe I have it now, how would I act? Would I go around telling everybody, woe is me, I'm so sad. Oh, singing that woeful song of pity and misery. What's that old song they used to sing on Hee Haw? doom, despair, and agony. Deep, dark depression. And excessive misery.
If it
were not for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Doom, despair, and agony on me. Yeah, it was a song, wasn't it? And we were singing along with it. Everybody, oh, hallelujah. Well, I'll be doggone if I'm going to sing that song. Yeah, I'd be doggone if I'm going to sing that song. No, we have to act like, what do we act like you have it now? Walk like you have it now. Go see people like you have it now. Go do business like you got the deal now. See, everything has to line up. My words have to line up. I don't want to give away something. I don't want to let something go because of the slip of my tongue. And when we believe it in our hearts, it'll come to pass. Not because you are a Christian, but because you are in the God class. The image of God is on the inside of us. And we have whatsoever we believe by faith that we have received. And sometimes we believe a lot of stuff that's negative. And we get that in our hearts and we begin to say it to everybody. Man, everybody knows why you are whatever it is. Because you tell everybody because it's coming out of our hearts. Our heads are down. We feel defeated in life because that's what we believe we have. And therefore, everything we touch is also defeated. Every place we go is defeated. We have fear in our life because we don't believe we're courageous. We don't believe we're courageous. Like, I'm courageous, man. I am courageous. In my heart, I am courageous George. Not curious George, courageous George. Oh, courageous George. He just walks right in the midst of it, and he is just a powerhouse because I'm saying it over my life. I got to believe it. Got to act like it. Got to talk like it. Got to go around the table like it. Got to speak like it. When I'm in the boardroom or whatever, I got to act like George Logan has something to say. Are y'all with me? I said, are you with me?
Yes.
We are the byproduct of what we believe in our hearts. What we believe in our hearts. And some of us have grown up in atmospheres of doubt, atmospheres of unbelief, and now you are in another atmosphere. Now embrace it. Embrace it. Yeah, you may have grown up in an atmosphere that was always, I mean, the glass was always half empty. Every word, every thought, everything was out of that, out of an attempt to protect themselves from the next expected hurt. I already just know something. We just expect to get hurt. Well, that's why you keep on getting hurt. You expect to get hurt, and therefore you're calling hurt to yourself. We're calling it to ourselves. We were just talking about something recently, and someone was talking about the word karma. And we're just starting in the word karma, and that word was used a couple of times, and I said, I don't believe in karma. But this person has said, you know, I that's a word I've used quite often. You know, I believe in what goes around comes around. I believe that people get what they are. The Lord knows I don't believe in karma. Because if I believe in karma, I probably would be already messed up, wiped out, and everything else. What I believe is in the mercy of God. I said, I believe in the mercy of God. I believe that God's a merciful God. And when I mess up, God covers me with his mercy. That's in my heart. can't stop. I can't do it. I can't do it. Because then you expect something to happen. Truck pull out in front of you. Go out. Just bad stuff. I don't expect bad stuff to happen in my day. I expect good stuff to happen. My wife and I, just the other morning, we were calling to make some reservations, and we got there a little late on the good deals, and all we could get is $300 and stuff like that for a night, and we're like, man, we ain't trying to spend no $300 a night. So we believe in favor, man. We believe that we are the favorite of the Lord. We believe that when we go around, we have favor coming up out of us. And so my wife, and she was really, God was like, wow, she can really handle that phone, boy. She said, well, what if we did this? I'm like, all right. And what if we came a day earlier? Could we get a better deal? I'm like, okay. And she said, and what if we, and next thing you know, we don't work that bad boy down. There's no wheedle down, maybe $100, right? Same place. We didn't say, oh, now here it goes. I mean, now, you know, I guess we can't go now because, no, we believe that we walk in the favor of God. We believe that surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. We believe that the mercy of God just follows us. And people don't know why. And it was so sweet. I was listening to the phone conversation. Oh, we're missing it. We can see if, well, that might just work. That. I was like, favor. Amen. Favor. How come? Because in our hearts, we believe that. We believe that though people may seem to be against us, God is for us. And therefore what? Who can be against us? I mean, God is for us. I mean, who can be against us? I mean, Big Daddy's for us. The creator of all the world is for us. Who can stand against that kind of pressure? So you start hearing stuff like, oh, we don't know why we want to do this, but we do want it. We want to do this for you. Like, I believe it. I believe you want to do it for us. And you don't even know why you want to do it for us, but that's all right. I know why you want to do it for us. The Bible tells us God surrounds us with favor like a shield. Surrounds us. I go this way, it's still surrounded. Go the other way, it's still surrounded. How come? Because I've built up my heart to believe that. I've built my heart up to believe that. All the other stuff is being pulled out. I've built my heart to believe that God is for me, not against me. God wants me to prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. God wants every place the soles of my foot to tread upon. I've been spending time working on my heart, so I believe that. So that's why he says in the word, grab hold of this principle. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you have received it, that it's yours right now. And you will receive it. So act like whatever it is in your life. Act like you have it now. Talk like you have it now. Think like you have it now. Go into places like you have it now. And you'll find out it will come to pass. Did you get something out of this? All right, well, you guys were really wonderful today, just like I pray you would be. All right, hallelujah. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads.
You've been listening to the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. Please visit us at our website at www.newdaycc.com. Again, that's www.newdaycc.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please tell others. And if you ever get the opportunity, please come visit us at New Day Christian Church.